have your Bible. Why don't you turn with me, if you will, please, to John chapter 10 as we begin this evening. For perhaps most of you know that we're right in the midst. We're right in the midst of the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah, as you heard on Sunday morning, Brother Dave shared with us. And right now, next door, our children are enjoying a little bit of a Hanukkah celebration. Did you know that Jesus celebrated it? Yeah. In John 10, it says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." That phrase in verse 22, the feast of dedication, is another name for the feast of what we call Hanukkah. In fact, the word Hanukkah means dedication. It's the Hebrew word for dedication. And as you heard on Sunday, and perhaps even if you weren't here, you know that at the center of what this celebration of Hanukkah is all about is the Jewish temple, that second temple. Actually, this celebration, the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, as it's called, is the Jewish celebration of the victory that God gave the Maccabees and the Jews over that evil tyrant, that evil king Antiochus and his troops. You remember, he and his troops defiled the temple in Jerusalem. They completely desecrated it. In fact, Antiochus erected a pagan statue of Zeus in the temple. Not only that, on the altar that was sacred, in which they sacrificed these clean animals every morning and every night, he desecrated that altar by sacrificing a pig upon it. And so as a result, the Jewish temple was totally off limits. The Jewish people were not allowed to worship there, neither would they, because it was desecrated by this evil pagan king and his troops. Well, Hanukkah is the celebration of the victory that God really supernaturally gave this little guerrilla group of the Maccabeans. And when they took over that Jerusalem and that temple area again, they cleansed the temple from its defilement. They consecrated the temple that had been desecrated, and they rededicated the temple to worship of the living God, the God of Israel. They rededicated that temple to the worship of the living God. Thus, Hanukkah means dedication. And the place where God's light shone and the place where the fire burned on God's altar was once again lit and was bright. Now, I want to make this a personal Hanukkah for all of us. Whether we are Jew or whether we are not, I want to talk about a personal Hanukkah for you and I. Because the Bible says, and you know this, that while there is no longer a Jewish temple standing on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, you, as a believer, are called the temple of God. You're God's temple. What? Don't you know that you, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? That's what the scripture says. And as a believer, you're God's temple, you're God's house. The Jewish people call the temple the house, meaning God's house. You're God's house. This building isn't God's house. No church building is God's house. You as a believer and us collectively, when we gather, we are the house of God. We're God's house. We're God's temple. Now, I want to share three things with you along these lines, with that line of thinking, but I want to pause a moment first and pray together with you. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. We're thankful for him. This is all really about him. He's at the center of all of this. The Jewish people just don't know it. Because as we've sung tonight, and as the scripture says, this festival of lights, which sometimes Hanukkah is referred to, is a festival they don't know, but it's pointing to the light of the world himself. And I do pray that Jesus, who called us the light of the world, we reflect him, that our lives would be reflective, that we would be those that would shine as lights in the midst of this crooked nation, this perverseness, and this darkness that has enveloped. So thank you, Lord, for the time that we can spend together tonight and think about this and just pray that Jesus will be glorified and that you will empower and enable both the messenger and the people that are here or that will hear over the internet the message. Receive it well. We pray for Jesus' glory. Amen. On that basis, you are God's temple. You're God's house. I was thinking about the way the psalmist David says it in the 27th Psalm. He says, the Lord is my light. And in the fourth verse, he says, there is one thing that I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after. You know what it is? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The one thing that the psalmist desired was really to be in God's presence, to be in God's house, to be in God's presence. Well, guess what? As we've already said tonight, you're God's house. God's presence is in you all the time. And while the psalmist says, there is one thing that I desired of the Lord would say to us, since you're his house, since you're his temple, there's one thing that I desire. And the one thing God desires is that you will seek him. Because God made you for himself. Don't ever wonder what your purpose is on this earth. What you're here for. It's very simple. God made you for himself. God made you for his purpose. God made you for his pleasure. You can't, in fact, properly function. You cannot find fulfillment until your life is under that kind of understanding and submitted to the fact that your life is lived as a life of worship. You can chase all kinds of dreams, but if your life isn't centered in that relationship, a life of worship, you should be that kind of a person. That's what God desires of you. God wants to meet you in the temple. You're the temple. God wants to meet you there. That's the one desire God has for you, to meet you in the temple. He wants you to have communion with him, because when you have communion with God, when his presence becomes real to you, something happens and you're never the same. You want more of him. You want to know him more intimately. You want to come closer to him. God wants you to know him intimately. In fact, He has created you with a unique capacity, which is a desire for a relationship with him that nothing else can satisfy the human heart like that. And you know what? It lasts for eternity. And I would say, for a personal Hanukkah, that you might begin with that word desire. The psalmist says, one thing I've desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. The one thing God desires is that he might have fellowship with you in his house, which is you. Perhaps a personal Hanukkah begins with you asking Jesus to kindle a fresh desire within your heart for his light to shine brightly in you and for his fire to burn fervently on the altar of your heart. Let's begin there so that you might celebrate a personal Hanukkah tonight. There's another thing that I think we ought to consider along these lines. Not only that it's something to be desired, but often, like the temple was defiled and desecrated by Antiochus and his troops, I think often our hearts, the temple of the Lord, gets defiled. It reminds me of what took place during the days of King Hezekiah. You know, King Hezekiah, he's always called good King Hezekiah because he was a good king of Judah. And there weren't a whole lot of them. He was a good king. Well, wasn't perfect. He was a man, but he was a good king overall. His daddy was one of the worst. And his son, Manasseh, was also one of the worst kings that Judah experienced. But his daddy even sacrificed to a pagan god, Hezekiah's brother, as an infant sacrifice. He was a wicked, idolater king. But good King Hezekiah comes to the throne, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, he begins to reign when he's 25 years old. He reigns for 20 years in Jerusalem, and it says in the third verse, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month of the year of his first year, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord because his pagan daddy had slammed them and locked them shut and didn't want the Jewish people to worship the God of Israel. He opened the doors of the Lord and he repaired them. And he got the priests and the Levites together and he said to them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. And listen to this, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. Any filth to clean out of your temple, God's house? Any filth? Are there any idols that you've erected there? Any dust or dirt that you've tracked into your heart? Anything that comes to your mind that you're ashamed of? May the Holy Spirit of God, his wind, blow through your heart and blow that dirt and that dust out of it. I would suggest that with violence, you pull down every idol that you've raised up in your heart, that you rid God's house of all that's unworthy to his name, all ungodliness, any hidden shameful thing that is hung upon the wall of your heart. Is your body, is your person, are you worthy to be called God's holy place, God's sanctuary? Are you worthy of the name, the house of the Lord? Carry out the filthiness, is what he says, because there's defilement there. And then the third thing that I think figures into having and experiencing a personal Hanukkah is not only that it has to be desired. You got to deal with what's defiled. But as the word Hanukkah means, you got to be dedicated. There's got to be that dedication. Remember again how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. What a price? The precious blood. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which doesn't belong to you, but are God's. I thought about it this way. Before the temple was built, God was worshipped in the tabernacle. Remember, in the wilderness, it was a tent. You know what? There were thousands of tents that made up the camp of Israel. But among those thousands of tents, there was one tent that was very different from all the rest. In all the other tents of Israel, you could do as you pleased. You could eat, you could sleep, you could work, you could rest, you could sing, you could be noisy or silent. But this one tent demanded reverence and awe. And as you came near it, you would instinctively walk more quietly with your head bowed and in solemn silence. What was so special about it? Because outwardly it was made of just ordinary materials, but within it was the Shekinah of God. The very Shekinah of the living God inhabited that tent. There is a sobering fact that hits you the moment that you are born again. Your heart becomes the house of God. Your life, your body becomes God's dwelling place. You become God's temple. And as a result, just as those Jewish people, after the overthrow and the victory won through the Maccabean revolt, there is a need to repair the broken altar, the broken altar of your heart. There's a need to, as they say, the oil was only a one-day supply, but miraculously it lasted for 8 days. There's a need for you to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And when he fills you, it can be a supply that never runs dry. There needs to be a rededicating of God's temple again. In order to experience a personal Hanukkah, it has to be desired. You have to admit where it's defiled, and then it has to be dedicated. So I invite you, whether you're Jewish or not, to experience right now, during this season, a personal Hanukkah. I want to close by praying a very simple, short prayer that incorporates these things that I've just gone over with you. And I want you to listen. And if it's your prayer, say amen to it in your heart. Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, I want you to kindle a fresh desire for your fire, for your light. Lord, I ask you to wash away all the inner defilement out of my heart with your precious blood. I dedicate anew my body as your temple and my members as instruments of righteousness. Lord Jesus, fill me and let your Holy Spirit constantly flow through my life to be a house worthy of your name. I ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.